The situation is really grim. I mean, we got through the winter, but another winter is coming very quickly. There's some 5 million people with humanitarian needs in Ukraine, and 4 million of those people are in the eastern regions. So you have a clear sense. We're talking critical needs in shelter, medicines, food, and so forth. And I think that the continuing insecurity is an additional complication, because despite the Minsk ceasefire, every day we have violations. Every day there are deaths. Sometimes it's a handful, sometimes it's a dozen. But all along the contact line, the firing continues. So we see a humanitarian situation in the heart of Europe, and it's demanding urgent UN attention, global attention.
What UN agencies do to alleviate suffering of the people in eastern Ukraine?
Well, of course, we've massively scaled up our presence, and we've set up the logistical network that we need to operate. We've also established the relationships of trust with both the de facto authorities as well as with the government in Kyiv, that we are able to deliver humanitarian assistance. We're able to ensure that the humanitarian assistance only goes to those who are most vulnerable and in need. And we're delivering. We're delivering a massive amount of humanitarian assistance already. But the limitations that we have are imposed fundamentally by the levels of funding that we have. We've asked for $316 million. This humanitarian appeal was launched in February with the Vice Prime Minister and myself, and we've since only gotten about 30% of that funding. And Ukraine appeal is actually a very small appeal. Globally, humanitarian requirements are about $1.8 or $1.9 billion, and Ukraine is asking $316 million, which is less than 2% of the total.
You already mentioned that despite the agreement reached in Minsk, fighting in eastern Ukraine continues. So how do you implement your programs amidst clashes?
I can say that at least since February, when there was a real conflict around Debaltseve, the conflict is fundamentally restricted to this, what we call the touch line. It's a determined geographical strip of land. And so we are able to get through that particularly dangerous spot through a number of controlled checkpoints at certain times of the day, which minimizes the risk. We have support on both sides that we should be doing that, and therefore we are able to move humanitarian goods into the non-government controlled areas, as well as, of course, we carry out the distribution along the line in government controlled areas, and we're simply dealing with the fact that there is a danger of shelling and some conflict.
Can you elaborate on the programs that you implement there in eastern Ukraine?
I'd like to highlight that the UN system is actually operational in four main areas. Ukraine is a middle-income country. It is inherently one of the richest countries in terms of its natural resources, its human resources, its industrial base. But it's a country which has suffered from incredibly poor governance, corruption, impunity, no independent judiciary. So the real solution to the challenges that face Ukraine are the kind of sustainable development interventions that the UN is practiced at around the world. So we work in four main areas. We work in humanitarian assistance, which I've described a little bit. We also work in early recovery. Early recovery, in my mind, is the critical element. This is sustainable livelihoods, social cohesion, putting people back to work, restoring social services, and so forth. The third area after humanitarian and early recovery is what we call reform and development. Ultimately, Ukraine will succeed or fail as a country based on the reforms that they implement. They need to root out corruption. They need not only the legislation, but they need the culture of stopping corruption. So United Nations is helping on this front as well. So if you look at those three areas, you've got humanitarian action, you've got early recovery, you've got reform and development. And then finally, we have this large human rights mission. Because of so much propaganda on every side and from everybody about what was actually happening on the ground since the beginning of this crisis, the United Nations, the Secretary General, from his contingency fund, put forward a human rights mission, which has now produced some 10 reports on what are the human rights situation on the ground. And this is objective, credible reporting. And it really is critical to highlight this, because at the end of the day, leaders on both sides of this conflict need to know there is accountability for the kinds of violations that can occur. So I think it's important when you talk about the humanitarian situation to keep this broader picture in mind. Ukraine, an inherently rich country, economically broke, poor governance, but a country with huge potential, which is struggling to fix itself,